We're about to start Baruch Hashem, our second union on Nois Momin. Just like to say a short word before we start. The Rambam in Hilchos Matnas Ani in Perek Yud Halacha Aleph says, Chayovin onu liyizor b'mitzvot tzedakah yesen mikol mitzvot aseh. We must be careful, more careful with the mitzvah of tzedakah than any other mitzvah aseh. Shatzedaka is simin le tzedike zera Avram avino, because tzedaka is a simin for the tzedikim of the zera Avram. Shenema ki yedativ lemana sheyitzav es bana vespeis ha'achrov masis tzedaka mishpat. It was a mida. It's the hallmark of Avram avino, bnei Avram avino, that they are mekayim tzedaka mishpat, and therefore we have to be nizar in this mitzvah aseh more than any other mitzvah aseh. Actually, the title of the pasuk Yedativ Leman Hashem Yitzav, Yedativ here means a lashon of chiba, a lashon of love. Rashi says, to my knowledge, it's the only place in the Torah that Hashem said that He loves anybody, and it went to Avram Avinu because he would be metav his bond of bnei veter achrav. What? Last is tzedakah mishpat, to do tzedakah mishpat. The Erech Mishpat says, Alpi this Rambam, that just like here we see that it's the hallmark of a Yid to do tzedakah, and we have to be more nizar in tzedakah. Well, for this, at the same token, the Pasuk says, Aman lasit tzedakah u'mishpat, and vice versa, that Mishpat is also the hallmark of a Yid, and the same is true, that we have to be more nizar with Mishpat than with any other mitzvah, kivayachal, in the Torah. The Rambam in Hilchos Deis Grado, when he starts off at the end of Perek Aleph, when he sums up and then he gives you the structure of Hilchos Deis, he again uses this pasuk and he says it's the Derech Hashem, and he says that the person who's Mekayim the Derech Hashem will be the recipient of Bracha, like the pasuk Fiyazois, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was Mevarech Klal Yisrael because of this Tzedakah Mishpat. All right, tonight we're starting Simin Resh Chav Zayin, it's Hilchos Nois Momin. It would be in place to first give a hakdama, what is a Nois Momin, before we start. Contrary to popular belief, a Nois Momin does not mean how much you have to fix or cap your profit margin at, Beitzim and milk and different things that you can't have a profit more than a shtus or anything like that. There are halachas later on in a different simin, in Simin Reish Lamed Aleph. You can look at Sifchaf over there, but it's not. This is not a nois momin. A nois momin is that after we determine what a fair market value for an item is, which we'll discuss how we determine that, one is meshubid to sell it at that price. One cannot sell it above fair market value, and one cannot dupe a seller and purchase something under the fair market value. And this is lav dafka lagabi items that are sold. It could be anything. It could be a service provided. If you are you provide a certain service, let's say graphics, you make a brochure and there's a certain price that's set for that design, for that thing, you cannot overcharge. It could be a doctor, it could be a lawyer, it could be anything, it could be a mashgiach, it could be anything that it is. It need not be an item. It could be, like I said, a service. But the idea is that you're fixed at a price. You now let us sell it above fair market value. If you sell it above fair market value, you are being ma'ana the lokeach. If the lokeach purchases under the fair market value, then he's being ma'ana, he's hurting, he's victimizing the seller. Now, how do we determine what's considered fair market value? So there are klalim that the Rishonim give us. First klal is that it's hakol tali lefi hamakom ulefi hazman. So just because it's some price fixed in New York doesn't necessarily have to be the fair market price here in Lakewood, or vice versa. It's a kol tali lefi hamakom ulefi hazman. Supply and demand obviously governs, and with that we'll fix a price. Who are those who are supposed to fix a price? You're supposed to go to Shamayim and get a proper assessment. Today we really don't have those type of shamayim. Maybe we do, but it's not common amongst the layman to have these shamayim. Big businesses do hire shamayim to know how to market an item, but they're a klal. We don't have these shamayim, but the achrayim say, the tshuvim say that we can do it differently. What we can do is we just go bust to the stores. Instead of going bust to roif shamayim, we can go bust to roif stores. So let's say if I want to buy a package of diapers and I want to know how much that price is, well, I can look around the area in Lakewood, provided, of course, it has to be the same type of store as well. And I'll find out how much a price of diapers would go from these stores, and I'll take the roif, and that's how I'll determine a price. Now, you can have a case where there is not an easy roif. And this is really the hard point to determine, is that you'll have stores, let's say, give a marshal, one store will sell an item, will take a pen, one store will sell a pen for 80 cents, another store will sell that same pen for 90 cents, and yet a third store will sell a pen for $1.20. So we have three stores, one at 80, one at 90, one at $1.20. What is the price of this pen? And really this question is not limited to Hano. This question is a general question in Hilchos Shuma. What is the price of the pen? Lagabi Gevius Koyf. What's the price of the pen? Lagabi Mazik. Lagabi Gzela. Whatever it is, when we want to determine what is considered a price, when we're supposed to go Basaroy, what do we do in a situation where there are a number of prices out in the market? And that's the Machlekes Rishonim. The Rambam says that you take the high and you take the low, and you cut it in half. You take the median, but it's a median. You take the center point between the two extremes. So in this case, 80, a 90, and $1.20, the price will be fixed at a dollar. It's interesting. There's not one store in the whole city that sells this pen for a dollar, yet the price of this pen is a dollar. It's the 80 is the low, and $1.20 is the high. We cut it in half, so the center point is a dollar. That's how the Machaba Paskins and Kof Kimmel. We don't follow that shita. I guess the Sfaradim do, but we, the Ashkenazim, do not. We follow what the Sma brings down, the shita Zerishayin and the Rashbam and others, that we go Basar Roiv, and in that case, the Roiv says the pen was 90 cents. Now, how do you have a Roiv saying the pen was 90? There's only one store that says it's 90. So that the Rashbam was Machadash, it's into Santa Roiv. What you have is, which I mentioned before, last week I believe it was, you have two stores saying that the pen is not worth more than 90 cents, and you have two stores saying that the pen is not worth less than 90 cents. So kumtoy is that two out of three stores are saying that the pen is 90 cents. Really, actually, there's only one. But the combination of all the opinions here, we have a sort of a roiv saying that the pen is 90 cents. And that's how we follow. The Rambam did not want to say that because the Rambam said that if you're going to say it's 90 cents, then you're going to cause one assessor to be off by 30 cents. The one who said it's $1.20 is going to be off by a lot. And he would like to be memaid the mistake. So if you cut it down the middle, make it a dollar, so now the mistake is off only 20 cents one way, 20 cents the other way. We try to be memaid the mistake. But we don't follow that. We, like I said, we follow the Sma, and that is that you go bust a roiv. And in this case, the roiv will be determined at 90 cents. So that's how you determine a product. Now, we can have cases which are interesting cases. What happens if you have a supermarket selling it for one price, and you have a local grocery store selling it another, and then you'll have the 24-hour Wawa or Exxon gas station selling it at a third price? How does that play? The halacha is, the Mefarshim say, that you have to go bust at the same type of a store. A supermarket provides one service, and a local grocery store provides a different type of a service. They might be selling the same bottle of milk, but with the whole package that it has, it's really a different bottle of milk. To go into ShopRite and purchase a bottle of milk could take you about 10, 15 minutes because they bedavka put the milk on the far end corner because they know you have to walk through all the aisles till you get there. Hopefully you purchase something along the way. It's one type of service. Now they have milers in ShopRite as well. It's a supermarket. They are milers. They have everything under one roof. The local grocery may not have everything under one roof. They may not have such a large selection, but it's much quicker to go in and go out, and it's usually, obviously more convenient because it's usually local as well. It's nearby. It's usually parked in some type of residential neighborhood. But basically, the place can say that a supermarket and your local grocery store are two different Sharim. They are selling two different products, even if it looks like the same product. And if you would like to determine how much a local grocery should sell something for, you have to take three local groceries and then determine a price from the combination of prices. If you want to determine a supermarket, you have to go to three supermarkets. If you'd like to determine a price that a 24-hour store should sell, then you don't have to go to 23 Wawas or whatever it is. It's considered a different item, and therefore it dictates a different price. Then you have something, let's say you'll have a sale at the end of a season or stamp sales. Every week there's something on sale in ShopRite or some other stores like that. The Mefarshim say a sale with Derek Cloud, a sale with Derek Cloud does not affect the price. I mean, so let's say you try a can of oranges is $2, and because they put it this week on sale to try to attract you and lure you into coming into the store, and they put it at $1, $1.50, whatever it is, the price is still considered $2. It's $2, but they lower the price as a sale to get you into the store. There are times that a sale is just a gimmick and it's really not a sale, and then it will determine a price. For example, computers constantly, because of the industry and the technology, keeps on being updated and new and advanced. Basically, the Pentium 3 now is on sale, or the old printer is on sale. Well, that sale is really a fake sale because it will never go back up. It's just a gimmick. Well, what they'll do is they'll keep the price at $1,000, make it a sale, $100 rebate, whatever it is, and then the next week, if the rebate's finished, if the rebate's over at the end of February, well, March 1st, lo and behold, Taka's normal rebate, but now it's only worth $900. Now they'll sell it normal for $900 or even less than that. That's just a gimmick, and really, the sale is not a sale. And then, if it's Taka on sale for $900, then the price would be $900. You could have end-of-season sales as well. Which again, we have to play with these factors. Are these real sales or fake sales? Sometimes they are just to empty out stock and to be able to stock up with the new season's suits or whatever it may be. Or sometimes it's because it's out of season, it's out of, right, the mode is, that's old, last year's style, last year's chayra, and therefore it is going to be cheaper. So basically, whatever it's going to be at the end of the sale, and whatever price he will sell it for at that point, that is the price that you should work with. That is the price of the item. And he may or may not be really giving you a sale. Sorry?
Manufacturer's suggested retail.
That doesn't make any difference. I mean, manufacturer's retail is also just, you know, a gimmick or a guide or a gauge of some sort, but it's not going to be conveyor price. There is a shyly, and I don't have a right to this, what will be if you'll have one store selling it with sales tax and another store selling it without sales tax. Does the sales tax go into the price? I don't have a right. Or in Lakewood, actually, you can have a different variable. One store is selling it at 3% sales tax, and one store is selling it at 6% sales tax. Would that be considered a no? Because really, the seller is selling it for the same dollar. The reason why you're paying an extra 3 cents per dollar is has to do with the government, and that's not even going to the seller. So there's one may argue and say that that doesn't affect the price. The price is still a dollar. Others can say, faket. The mitzvah for me to get this, if someone's going to be mazik it, if I have this, and someone's going to be mazik it, I need to pay $1.06 to get it if I would go to that. So and that's only $1.03, and maybe that should play a role.
What she's trying to do with the sales tax, I mean, if they don't, generally speaking, if a store does not charge sales tax, it's very inclusive in the price. In other words, they don't charge.
Correct. Those are sales. Right. Those are stores on the avenue. Right. But you'll have a store in a basement or something like that, then they may not charge sales tax. Can you do it? But if you want to stick safer, let's make it 6% and 3%, we'll work with that. Does that go into the thing? I didn't see anyone who discussed that, so I wouldn't be able to tell you. So now, let me just drive home this point one more time. It's worthwhile driving home, and that is, it has nothing to do with a profit margin. A person could have a grade in and therefore could afford to sell something cheaper. And if that goes into the, if that's factored into the price, and so be it. And the next store, let's say, because he doesn't have as good connections or because his overhead is more, he's on a more expensive property and he pays a higher rent, whatever it is, that is irrelevant. We don't care about how much the person is actually the cost to sell that item. If he's not making money and he cannot sell it within the range, within the fair market value, within the determined price, then he shouldn't be competing. He should go into a different line. If he cannot compete, then let him move on. He is mechuyev to stay within the determined price, and that is enough. And on the lidikis, if a person has a great deal and therefore is making 200% profit on every item, so be it. That's great, as long as he's not overcharging and he's not going above the determined and fair market value. What we're interested in is to determine a fair market value and stick within that fair market value.
I don't think whoever came first, the lower price, the 90 cents came first. As soon as the second guy opened it, charged $1.20, he was going up.
Correct. Could be. Well, could be. Before I jump. You want to know that how does everyone ever change prices? The second the person changes the price and raises the price, all of a sudden, at that point, he's going above the market. Even if the market follows him, follows in suit, let's say 2 weeks later, for those 2 weeks, he might have been over or not. That's a fair question. Let me ask even a better question. How does anyone in today's age run any type of a business? Remember that Anoh has two parts to it, and we're going to see throughout the Siman. There's the Isser part, you know, let it be Ma'ana, and then there's the remedy. What happens if you're Ma'ana? What's the recourse? What could you do? Is it Mecca Kayim? Is it Mecca Kayim, but you have to adjust the price? Or is it Bitul Mecca? Can we just Mevata the whole thing because you were Ma'ana me too much? So the question then is that how can anyone run any business today? It's command impossible. Let's say you run, we'll take the extreme. You run a co-op supermarket and you're selling, I don't know how many items, thousands of items. You're making thousands of purchases a day, sales a day. How is it possible that every single item was determined the exact fair market value? It's for sure at least a 1% of the items, they are overcharging, right? Every store has to be like that. By accident, they have to be overcharging at least 1% of the items. So how come they're not over Nisana every single time? It's a good question. We're going to get to it later. But it's something to keep in mind. Yes, how do you do any business? How do you... Anything a person's in, rent, you cannot overcharge in rent. And making furniture, you cannot overcharge in furniture. You can't overcharge in anything. And if you sell so many products or so many services that you offer, how is it possible that you're going to know for sure that you're never overcharging? It's a fair question. But
overcharge is there.
We're going to get to it. And Sif Vav, the Mechaber, brings down the suffix if there's a nis even less than the shus, and he says you have to be machmir. It's a suffix derais al chumra. So even on a mashu, you're going to have a nisa. Or a suffix isa. Sorry? Well, we'll discuss if you need a pruta. Yes, we'll get to it. Let's, right. Okay, there is no, we're going to get to that as well. There's not going to be a nisa of being ma'ana a guy.
Using the goyish prices, so you're really checking apples for oranges.
Not really. The goyish price will determine how I can get it. Me as an end user, how I can get that item. I can get it from a yiddish store. I can go to the goyish store as well, and therefore that will be factored in. He might not have an Issa. No, it's true. The reason why it's governed is not because of the Issa. We have to look at the stores that have the Issa. We have to know what is the fair market value. Those who have the Issa will have the Issa, those who won't. Why not? The Yidden could charge that price off, it would be fair market value. Whatever fair market value is, that's what you're allowed to charge.
You have to check the Yiddish store. You
can check with Goyish stores too. Why not? Maybe, Taka, but that is now the price. If, let's say, everyone in the world is being ma'ana, that there is no Yiddish stores. All 10 Goyish stores are being ma'ana. That's not ma'ana, that is the price. If something, let's say, you would like to be sold at $1, but every single store is selling at $2, it's not because it's or not. The price is, for this item, is $2. So therefore, we have to factor in all the...
Then somebody out there at all times has to be labor.
Correct. Correct. And we're going to get... How is that possible? Yes, that's basically how anyone could run any business, any service, what's going to be. But getting back to his question, that question just sort of opened up the Indian. But getting back to his question, what happens if you have only two stores? So now you don't have a roif. You have one store selling it for $1, and one store selling it for $1.20. Or let's say you have one store selling for $1, and I'm opening up now, and I would like to sell for $1.20. Am I doing anything wrong? Is it determined that $1, whatever it is? That's a Machlokes Tosfos in Ramban and Baba Basra. If you have only two stores, do we say a Moitzim Mekaver Olav Araya? And therefore, there is no exact price. It could be either the $1 or $1.20. Or do we say no, it will be fixed at $1.10? And Lechor is based on the same Machlokes that we had before. If you hold like the Rambam that you always take the high and take the low and cut it in half, you can do that with two stores, you can do that with 22 stores. If two stores is one's $1, one's $1.20, then we'll cut the high and the low in half, and the middle price will be $1.10.
The Rambam only holds to do that so that the one that has the lower price
should be off. Lower or higher. We want to make sure that the extremes aren't off by too much. So if you make it $1.10, like this, either store is only off by 10 cents. Mashenkin, if you hold like the other Rishonim, that's how we pass, and that you go bust a roif, or when you only have two stores, there is no roif. And if there's no roif, then it'll be Hamaytz and Mekavar Lavarayah. So, in a Konami, if you only have two stores in town, and we pass them like the Sma, yes, you would be able to charge $1.20, because you could say, maybe that, I think that's the price. That price is $1.20. I'm selling it for $1, he's undercharging, but I'm selling it for the fair market value. We have a Machlek, it's me and him, what's going to be the fair market value? Can you say Kimli and Anissa? Probably in this case you probably.
No, you mean like the Sma.
If I hold like the Sma, maybe the price is $1.20.
But
That's what I'm saying. You're trying to say that you can't say Kimli on an Izzy, you only can say it on a Mama. But in this case, where it's one's a dollar, one's a dollar 20, maybe you shouldn't be selling it for a dollar 20. That's the suffix Izzy. Another point to mention is that you have a Piskei Chayshin, which was Mechadish, that just like, it's a Chiddush Atzam, but just like a person is meshubit to sell something within the fair market value, certainly he's mechuyv to sell something within the fair market value of his own store. And that is, that if you have a store that sells one item for two different prices, the Piskei Chayshin says he's over Nisar or no. It's a very mechudosh dek halacha. I asked him on the halacha that how could it be? It's going to come out that Port Authority, they have one price for regular people and one price for senior citizens. So that should be an Issa or no. V'chein, you have all these things, one price for kids, one price, you have all these type of gimmicks that they try to target certain markets and they'll give it for a different price for that market. And, or maybe we'll take it, coupons really shove a lot cold, whoever has the coupons. But you can get one price for new customers and one price for old customers. You have all these type of things, what's going to be, the chayolate him, there should be a nisa or no. And he told me that he never meant that. Even though he writes, Lachar just says in the safe, you have two prizes. He said he never meant that when there's two prizes and it's based on a certain group, you're targeting a certain market. He meant when a person walks in the store, you have a price, and it really depends on the thickness of the customer's wallet. A guy walks into the store, for you it's a dollar. For you, it's a dollar 20. He said, that is a problem. When you charge more because you think you can get more out of the customer, because you think the customer could afford more, that is a nisa or not. An esrog, my father Chaim Brachi used to say, there's no such thing as a $200 esrog. It's a $200 esrog koina. The same, the esrogim are roughly all within $10. A guy walks in, and it's a whole gimmick. You ever watch them? They walk in, and first he asks the customer, how much would you like to pay? Like, what are you looking for? So now he knows what the range is. And whatever he's going to say, he's always going to charge him $10 more, because he knows that the guy will move up, inch up a little bit, if he gets him something that he likes. It's a game. So he tightened it, could be by a sregum, there's a different brown white, it might not be on no. But this is what he said, that there'll be an is or no if you charge two prices based on what you feel that you can get. If a person comes, a person sells jewelry, someone asked me the Shaila, sells jewelry. So if he sells it to someone in Lakewood, charges one price, he thinks Lakewood, mostly in Goliath, here someone from Deal comes who charge a different price. That is a problem. That will be a problem of a no, like the Piskei Chayshin. Even if you don't hold it a Piskei Chayshin, and you don't say it goes into the regular, it's a love of Anah, I definitely think that it's a lack of Naisiv and Naisiv Be'amunah. I think it's not considered...
I'm looking at it the other way around, that you have one price, and if the guy can see you can't afford it, you give him a break.
If that is really a Kavanah, I hear. But if more often than not you're giving the break, then more often than not, really that is your price, and you're just overcharging for this higher price.
The makam
at the point of sale, where the sale is done. That means if the lokeah comes here and he buys here, that will be a problem.
I know someone who's very, very careful about the profit margin. So even when he gets new store in a higher price, he doesn't make the oldest store a higher price. He leaves it the old one. But he's got two things on the shelf there.
Correct. I know a lot of farm stores do that. You'll ask them, and they're very nice. And you'll ask them, you say, like, why, how come one? He says, Adarabba, take the cheaper one, because, you know, like you said, they have a certain markup value. That may or may not be a problem. I didn't ask the Rabbi Loy that, Shaila. That may or may not be a problem. Because really, he's not hitting a certain person. He's willing to sell this safer to everybody at $20. That safe is willing to sell to everyone at $18. Whoever picks up, he happens to have two different cheshbonos, how he got to that sale price, but he's not targeting and selling to one person one thing and another person at a different price. So could be Rabbi Loy would be moida that would not be a problem. Alright, basically, this is a short takdama to Anah, but like we're going to see, we're going to go through, there's an Issa part of Anah and the recourse part of Anah, and some Sifim are only negated to the Issa, some Sifim are only negated to the recourse, some Sifim are negated to both. And I hope to try to point out on each Sif what the Mechaber is talking about. Let's start off and we'll hopefully be able to get a little more of what's going on here. Let's start off. Sif Aleph. Also, like,
Would Anah apply to anything that you're charging for? Their real estate agent.
Anything. Any service that you provide. We're going to see that there are exceptions to the rule. Towards the end of the siman, we're going to have a bunch of exceptions, but let's wait for the at least at this point in time, you have to believe that a note applies to everything, every type of service, every type of sale. It might apply only legabe de yisurim, not legabe de recourse. We'll see. Mitzvah Hashem will be developed as we go along. Also, lohinus es chaveri. It is forbidden to be ma'ana your friend. Diak in the mechama, dafka friend, but a guy would be permissible. The mechaba is going to say it later on in sifcha vav as well. But also lohinus es chaveri, bein b'mechoy, bein b'memkorei. Say in purchasing something, say in selling something. The eizem mehem sheina, and either party which was ma'ana victimized his friend, bein lokeach bein moicha is either balav. To love in the Torah, leisaynu, you're not allowed to be ma'ana, take advantage of someone's lack of understanding of the market, or whatever it is, you're not allowed to be ma'ana him in a price, bein lokeach bein moicha is either balav, whether you oversell or you under buy. We're going to get to it. Schiris as well. We're going to get to it. There are exceptions to the rule, but let's hold off. But at this point in time, you should believe it applies to everything. There is a lav, say lekeach, say mecha, bim b'mechoi, bim b'memkorei. What is the understanding of this issa? The chinuch brings down, and I will quote, shayish ha-mitzvah yedua, the shayish of this mitzvah is yedua, is well known, ki hudava sha-seichu made alav. It's something that the seichu should be made on, which is lehepach, lehavdol, not like the goyim. The goyim feel that it's a bias, beware, caveat emptor, like it's his headache, don't bother me about it. It's not true, it's keneged Torah. The Torah that we are worried about, we have to do things fairly. Shein roi lokachas mamun b'nei odom. It is not fit for someone to take someone else's money, derech sheker v'tarmis. This is considered dishonest. Selling something, avada, you're supposed to be, if you work and you make profit, that's beautiful, and then you're supposed to be nana meyagia kapoy, but l'idiki, so you're supposed to be nana meyagia kapoy, but not nana from yena, from duping yena. You're not supposed to overcharge yena and hurt yena, and that's how you make a profit. You swindle a deal, you bargain well, and you take advantage of him. That's not being nana meyagia kapoy. That's not what a Kodesh Baruch Hu wants. It's not considered be'emes of yosha. And the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch says that the Gemara in Shabbos brings down that there are going to be six shailas that are going to be asked to a person, and the first shaila is Neseis of Nesata Bemuno. The Kitzur Shulchan Aruch says Zeu Sheshaila Nesadam. This is it. Neseis of Nesata Bemuno. Did you deal honestly and fairly in business? Means that you overcharge or dupe. You can do it the other way. You can dupe your wholesaler by underbuying, whatever it is, underpaying. Either way, this is an Isser or not. Now this is a lav, and it's a lav which is oiva afilu b'shegeg. There's a lav which we'll discuss hopefully later exactly what that means. But you do not get malchus for this lav. There's a machlokes why, but basically is because it's a lav and nitin liyishoven. Since there is a remedy, there is a recourse here. You're supposed to give back the money or be mevatel the mekach. So that either is a lav. Hanitik la'asei. Some say it goes into the regular klal of an asei of Eishav Isakzela. Others say the Rambam just says it's in the lav anitin leishavim. That's the Rambam shita that any lav that could be fixed through returning money, and there's a din to return the money, that fixes the lav and you don't have malchus. But there is a lav. Correct. And they ask, what are you going to do about malchus? Either is no chazara, and which we'll see later on, and they say, Akoka, the reason why it's no chazar is because it's a mechila. So you really had a chiv to pay, just he was meichayu, and that fixes your lav as well. Like other types of chiyuvan that you'll have in Issa, and if there's a mechila, that will fix the lav. But basically, the lav, and it's not, you're not like on it. Let's continue, move on, so we can get our teeth wet, you know, get our teeth into this and understand what's going on here. So first, you just have a lav bein lokeach bein meicha. Base. Kamati ano. What is going to be the ano? The yechayv lahashiv. So Sif Aleph was talking about the issa. Sif Beis is now talking about the remedy. How much does the ano have to be the yechayv lahashiv that you should be mechuyev to adjust the price or fix the price and return anything you cheated the other party? Shtus b'shava. It has to be exactly a shtus. Now this is command impossible today. It's rare that is today. I had such a case in the yeshiva. There was at one point all the barbers, there were four barbers in the building, three out of four were selling we're offering the services of a haircut for $6, and there was one barber was offering his services for $7. Yes, at that point there was a no exactly a shtus. But b'derek klal it's very hard because it has to be shtus b'shava. A drop less or drop more will have different halachas. But if it's going to be a shtus b'shava, the halacha is that the mekach is kaim and you have to the remedy is to fix the mekach and give back. So in that case, had you taken a haircut, let's say, and paid $7, the chiyuv would be is if you got your haircut and asked back for the dollar, or not even pay him the $7, just pay him $6 because that is a fair market price.
So how can you compare barbers?
Okay, that's a question that's nitin l'dayanim to decide which service is better.
That's an item,
but every service, you're going to say that in every service. I feel that my product is a better product. So you can't, it's not subjective. You can't feel it's better. It has to really be better. I mean, it has to be understood to be better, you know, in the common.
Willing to pay for it. I mean,
it's not. They might not know, they might not understand, they might not realize that everyone else in the building is servicing you for $6, and this guy just went up to $7. They don't chab. They may or may not chab. So that, look, it's be totally that's the ina
adayonim.
If you know that everyone else is charging $6, and you go to that barber and do it for $7, we'll see halachas later on if that constitutes a mechila, and you're going to be surprised that on its basic level it does not, and you're allowed to go to the barber and only pay $6.
Why is it
different
than a lawyer?
One guy
charging $400.
Same thing. It's like no difference. It's like the same thing. There might be an Israel. Ivy League lawyers, or only other Harvard lawyers, whatever it is. But once I get him in, I'm going to notch it. I'm going to get him somewhere. He's going to have to be fixed to a certain market. I might not know what the market is, not the general broad market, but I will be able to determine a market for him. All right. Oh, we're going to get to it. 1 second.
What you said is exactly shtus.
Well, the Mechav is going to give a few examples now.
6 to 7 is only if it's Malagab.
It's going to be Malagab, but let's see the Mechav. Mechav is about to say it right now. Chayv Loshev shtus b'shava. What is Kesah? Let's give examples of what's considered a shtus. Harei Shemoch Ashov Shesh B'chamesh. If you sell something worth 6 and you sell it for 5, so you duped the seller. Or it was worth 7 and he sold it for 6. Again, he was duped by 1. Now, at that point, you realize, Sheish b'chamesh, and you duped him 1 over 6, that's a 6. The second case, when he sold you 7 for 6, and he duped him 1 over 7, why is that considered a shtus? So the Gemara says there's a concept of shtus mois, and there's a concept of shtus mekak. As long as it's a shtus of either, whether it's a shtus by the mekak, determined by the actual sale price of the item, or a shtus of the mois by the actual money that you ended up paying for it, either one can throw it into a shtus. So in the case of Sheish B'chamesh, the item was worth 6, so and you sold it for 5, you duped them by 1, the item is 6, that's shtus the mekak. Or Shav B'sheva B'sheish, since you ended up only paying 6, and you duped them by 1, that is shtus mois, that's 1 out of over 6 of the mois, even though it's only 1 out of 7, l'gabi the mekak, but since it's also shtus l'gabi the mois, that also has the same halachas of a shtus. So you could have a shtus, sayinu mekak, sayinu mois, and that's two examples of the moicha being duped. Now you have inverse cases. Or Shav B'chamesh B'sheish, something which was worth 5, you charge 6. Or Shav B'sheish B'sheva, something which was worth 6, you charge 7. Here you ripped off the lokeach. The first case, Chamesh B'sheish, was Shtus Mois. He ended up paying 6. You ripped him off a dollar, Shtus Mois. On Shav B'sheish B'sheva, there you ended up cheating him a Shtus on the Mecca, because the Mecca was worth 6, and he charged him 7, so therefore he was Ma'anim a Shtus Mecca. Either one, it's irrelevant. Hareze Oino'o. It is Oino'o. He will be Oive Alav as well. V'nikna ha-mekach, but the mekach is kayim. V'chayv ma'ana l'shalem ha-no'a l'akzira kula l'mezana. But the recourse is that the sale is kayim, just we have to readjust the sale price and to match and to correlate what the regular price in the market is. So in the case of, let's say, Sheish B'sheva, if you paid him already 7 and then you notice that you were on this ana, you can go back to him and say, look, I know the sale is kayim, but give me back that dollar that I overpaid because you were supposed to charge 6. This is the nutshell, the hagdara of ono. What would be in a case, let's take something that we keep on discussing, we discuss this by Mekach many times, is that when you have a mum or yafis or reis or shnei minim or whatever it might be, we discuss that the Mekach is only bought when you file a complaint. When you're large or tiny, I want my sale, I want my money back because I found a mum, that's when there's a bit of Mekach. Until then, the Mekach is kaim. Similarly, by Onoah, the steam of Sapaiskim is the same thing, that when I overcharge someone and I charge him 7, at that point in time, even though he has a right to tain or no, at that point in time, or let's say even, we're going to see even I overcharge 8 and it'll be bitul hamekach, until he comes back and complains, the mekach is still kayim. The second he's tevea and he wants a bitul mekach, he wants his dollar back, that's when my chiv is to give him his chavis back or to give him his dollar back, to refund him that extra dollar. But until then, everything is kayim, and we're going to see that he's going to have a certain time limit to come back. Otherwise, it could just mess up the whole economy. I can sell you something and 6 months later, all of a sudden he could be coming back and say, you overcharge me. We're going to see that there is a time frame for this.
It's still worse though, right? And this will be even though the guy doesn't claim for his refund.
Correct. Pashas will be innocent no matter what. Correct. Correct. The issa is only the ma'ana. You could be both sides. If the lokeach was ma'ana, the meichah, the underpaid, he'll have the issa. If the seller overcharged the lokeach, then the seller will have the issa. Now, very often what we do today is we'll buy something. Let's say on credit, we'll make an order we had not yet paid. So all it could be, and we didn't make a kinyan yet either, or... Let's take the other way around. I charged something to the credit card, so I did, let's say, actually pay. Let's say he already charged it to my credit card, but it wasn't delivered yet. And in that window, I noticed that I was overcharged. Will I have the tightness of a no? So the kosher kain all the time. Madoch, even if I paid, I'm allowed to get my money back. Kosher kain, if I had not yet paid, I'll have a din or no, and we can readjust the price. The Paiskim discuss that it could be that even though normally when you pay and you didn't make a kinyan, there's a chiv of misha par, you're not allowed to back out. But it could be that in a case where you paid and you were nisana, at that point in time, not only do you have a right, you have a right to be mevatel the mekach in ganzen, and you won't be over any misha par. So machlokes is shach and bach. The svara being is that betzem I'm not bound to this deal anyway because I didn't make a kinyan and all you have on me is a misha para. Misha para is in a normal deal, a fair deal. I have a misha para that I'm mechuyev to go through with the deal. I have a klala son if I don't go through with the deal. But if the deal was slanted in your direction, there was a problem here. You were ma'anani in this deal. This deal Chazal said I don't have to go through with, and I won't even have a misha para if I back out. So machlek is a paiskin. Says, well, but let's say by shtus, I don't have to go through with the deal. I could go through a deal and just get my money back and adjust it. I could walk away from the deal and say, I'm not mechuyev to go through a deal. I don't want this deal and I could go somewhere else. Could be by pachas mishtus as well. Could be. But anyway, the machlokes, so ask before you proceed. All right. Another important point to mention here is that all this is talking about, another is when I sell a product or a service, and we are assuming that that's fair market value, but I never said it was fair market value. I sell you a bottle of milk for $1.50. I never guaranteed that this is a $1.50 price. I just said, I'm selling you for $1.50. You assume that that's a fair market price because that's what I'm selling it for. If I'll come in, and sometimes you have a customer on certain products, I'll come in and they want to buy something and the guy tells them it's $10 and the guy says, so much? I'm telling them this is the price that it goes for. The second he says this is the price it goes for, and the lokeh goes through with the deal, that's not a no. That's bitul mekach. That is, he only sold it for $10. He only bought it for $10, assuming it was based on the tanai. The understanding was that this is the fair market value. The second it's not the fair market value, that's not a no. That's dam a bitul tanai. I purchased this at $10 because that was the fair market value. If it's not, then the mekach is a mekach toys. Okay, less than shtus. The Yad Ramah would like to say that that is fine. The Yad Ramah is of the opinion that less than shus is no issa because anything close enough, less than shus, goes into the broad price of the item. So therefore he says that it won't be a problem because in essence it was a fair market value. However, l'chari then, the we who paskin like the Mechab and Sivav, that it's a suffix derais l'churma because that's not the understanding of Parkas Mishtos. Parkas Mishtos, you are off in the price, or at least it's a tzad that you're off in the price. So at least like that tzad, then even by Parkas Mishtos, there will be grounds for a bit of Mecca. I told you it's going to be for $10, and it came out to be $10 and a quarter, Well, the other way around. Came out to be $9.75, and I told you that the fair market value is $10, that will be a Mecca Ktois. Because you purchased it with the understanding, with the tonight, it was $10, and it didn't pan out. It wasn't $10, it was $9.75. That is a Betul Mecca. What we're talking about is this time, you just have a price, you walk into a supermarket, you fill your cart with stuff. He never guaranteed that that was a he never promised you that that was the fair market value, and therefore would be governed by the regular hilchos of Ona. Alright, let's move on to Sif Gimel. So Sif Beis is talking about the remedy of shtus exactly. Sif Gimel is going to be talking about parkas mishtus. Ha'isa ha'ayna parkas mizeh b'choshu, even a drop less than the shtus, k'goin, shemalka shavu shivim b'shishim, you sold something of 70 worth, for, you sold something worth 70 for 60 upruta, 60 and a pruta, 60 and a penny, enu chayiv la'akse klum, shekol parkas mishtus derech hakol limchol bay. The reason why you don't have any chazara is because the understanding is that less than the shtus is a mechila, people understand that it's impossible to market an item for the exact price, and therefore they are mechil if you off by a drop. There's a built-in mechila. So, like I said before, and who I didn't know if it's going to be, both ways. It's in Machabe taking away Shava Shivim Beshish Mepruta, where is that the Lekeach underpaid to the seller. You could have a case of Shava Shishim, and you sell it for Shivim minus a Pruta, and there when you overcharge the Lekeach with Pachas Meshtus, again, that will be an automatic Mechila, and it doesn't have the, it's not governed by the regular halachas of Anot. There may be an Issa, like we're going to discuss in Sifav, but at least right now, there won't be a remedy. And that's why it's very difficult to have the halachas of Meshtus. The Isurim are very easy to come by, unfortunately, but this din of having a shtus b'shova, that you'll have a chiv chazara, is very difficult because it's command impossible that punkt is going to be a shtus.
Now that you said it will be a mechila, does it make any difference how high priced or how much money is involved? The shtus of a $1 million item.
Right, $6 million item, and you sell it for $7 million minus a penny, that will be a mechila. Same thing.
You're the storekeeper,
you're required
to go from store to store to check what everybody's selling every item every day.
Okay, so that was the question, so I'll address it here. Basically is, what do we do? How do we run a business? It's impossible for us, we would be busy all day long running to stores rather than, you know, manning our business. If we have to understand how much a product is, how much a service is, and how much a brochure is, how much a, it'll be impossible to run our business. So why aren't we at least potentially over an issa every single day? L'chayr, the Teretz is as following. The Rishonim HaMeduyik, that the Issa of Anah, the Maritz says this beferish, that the Issa of Anah, the title of Anah is to victimize your friend, to take advantage of your friend's lack of understanding of the market price. That is the title of Anah. I take advantage, I'm duping Yana. I'm knowingly, that's the Nakuda, I'm knowingly duping Yana. And therefore, they would like to say, it's Meduik and the Rishonim, and the Ramban, and the Rosh, and the Chinuch, many Rishonim, that the Isser is only if you know about it. If you don't know about it, let's say I market something, and I think that the haircut is supposed to be $7, and I'm unaware that everyone charges $6. So there will be the Hilchus of Anol Lagabi, the remedy, and you'll still be able to come back to me and get a dollar returned. True. But Lagabi, the Issa Anol is only if I do it knowingly, if I do it b'mezid or b'pshia. If I don't know about it, I wasn't ma'ana. It came out that Nebuch, you were nisana, but I wasn't ma'ana you. I didn't knowingly hurt you. I didn't victimize you. And therefore, if someone runs a supermarket, and as long as he fails, that he's marketing his products at a fair price. What he feels, it's impossible for him to ever know, but what he feels is a fair market price. Let's say he understands that if you'll have a 20% markup in the food industry, that is going to be considered fair. And that's how he determines his price. He based it on a 20% markup, then that's fine, even though maybe on one product he was duped from his wholesale, and therefore in turn he duped the end user. That's fine. He won't be over in Issa of Anah because he thought he was doing everything fairly. The person will have a din to come back if it's Shtos or Yaisa Mishas to be Mavata the Megak, but he won't be over any Issa. And really, I think that is the Heta to today. It's not, you cannot just close your eyes and, you know, and everything. Ignorance is not bliss.
Is he Mechayiv to tell him when he finds out?
Is the Lekeach Mechayiv to tell the seller that he's hurting other people?
Or vice versa. In other words, when you find out you've overcharged,
are you mechuyev to go back?
Mechuyev to tell the guy?
I would say That means like this. If you want to know, if I overcharged you and you want to know, am I mechuyev to notify you later that I overcharged you and therefore you'll have a recourse to come back to me, that's a chayyav shayv. It's pachas mishtus, there's nothing to do about it. But you mean by shtus, a chazar sano, let's say,
or more. When you legitimately did not...
That is not in the poskim. The poskim do not say that. I would suggest, but I'm scared to say this, that hayoyis mistimus ha-poskim, they don't say that. I am not mechuyev to notify him. And I could wait. We're going to see there's a certain window. After that window lapses, he has no right to come back to me. Then it's very likely I could sit pretty and wait till that time, you know, expires and he won't be able to come back to me. Okay. Correct. There is a statute of limitations, a very short statute, which we'll see. I would assume that, but I'm not 100% sure.
Yeah, is there shy this whole thing of Chilim, Bitl Mekach? Because I'll convey six, so less than six, more than six. But it's a shaykh that if you, let's say you notify all your customers and say, shaykh is going to be a no and you're going to be my colleague.
Okay, we're going to... Just like we had by Mumin, such a sif, which discussed, can I have a, just a, you know, excuse me, a general disclaimer saying that you can't come back to me if this and this is a problem, which we discussed may or may not work and probably does not work. We're going to see later on, later on in the Simen by Ono as well, that a general mechila will not work by Ono.
I do charge more, not a specific.
Okay, so that will, let's wait for there. But yes, you're going to have a certain level of, a degree of exactly notifying the cleric what he's getting into. What the degree is my cleric is a shayna, which we'll see in Yetz Hashem later on. To get a, let's wait on that.
And that other question we asked about the shtus, what happens if you sold somebody something you thought it was solid silver, and you find out later it was silver plate? You don't have to go back and tell them?
Probably there you do. Probably there you do, because you ended up fooling him on the item. The item was a different item, and you duped him on the item, then that's grounds for Mekatois Loilam. But by a no, where there's a window, it could be, I'm just suggesting, I'm not sure, it could be you don't have a chiv.
The other side, if the local wants to sell items at a lower price, then everyone can assume that who's being misunderstood?
If a seller sells at a low price, every lokeach is being ma'ana the moicha. How? If you know that he's aware that he's undercutting the market, that's fine. But in absence of that, Kozman, you don't know. We don't know, or he doesn't even know how much he's right undercutting the market, then he's being nizana.
But if that's his niche in the market, is he being ma'ana now of the moicha?
How's he being ma'ana on the market? No, he has the right to sell whatever price he wants to sell. I mean, it's going to be a halakha of kosher. I'm not here.
And now he's part of the competition of the shop.
Correct. He's part of the competition, and everyone in suit will have to lower the prices somewhat to adjust. And he has, that's fine. That's tavala broker that he's lowering the market for everybody.
He's causing that everybody's
over the issue. Oh yeah, I don't think that's a lefnei either. He's setting up a new reality, and they have to stem with that reality.
Assuming an industry standard, let's say in a certain sector, let's say 25% markup on all items across the board in a certain sector, and then let's say the maker has a certain exclusive, or he gets a new item which no one else has, and now he wants to go and charge it 30-40% markup on this because nobody else has it, which will eventually go and spread. Right now the industry standard is a 25% markup.
The question is, what happens if you have an item, an exclusive item, something unique that you cannot determine a price from other stores in the area? Do you have a right to charge whatever you want, or you're mechuyev to a industry profit margin? That's your question.
I'm assuming the way you could figure out anyway the shots up without going to other stores, because nobody, I don't even know what to go to other stores to find out what they sell it for. Or maybe the basketball
players. You should know the place to ask the shot. The rabbi has this kasha, since in Reish Kolchez says you know, go to source. Yes. So how is it shy? You're always going to be over. Yes, this problem. Yes.
But I'm assuming you work on the industry standard, and there is industry standards of what markup is, usually by retail as far as that's concerned. So as far as an exclusive.
Right, an exclusive. I would say the following, that it's not dependent on the industry standard what the profit margin is supposed to be. The markup is irrelevant. I have to mishad myself to the fair market value. Like I said, and maybe I purchase it higher from the wholesaler and I don't have the right to use the industry standard of a 25% markup. Or maybe I bought it at a great deal, my uncle's in the bid line, and I can mark it up higher. I'm not mishubit to that. What I am mishubit to is to make sure this product gets to the customer at its fair market. If I'm the only one in town selling it, then basically I can do what I like. But there is a catch, and the catch is that if it's an exclusive item, there's no one else in the world selling it for this price. I'm the one who created this item. Then maybe, yes, you can do it, the sky's the limit, you can do whatever you want. However, if let's say you have an exclusive in Lakewood, but there are other people in Dale and Borough Park and Flappish selling, Muncie selling this item. What we could do is determine, as we're going to see later on, as if by Margolius and other places, we have the right to determine to borrow their share and apply it here. That is, if I see that in Deal the item is going for $10, then I could assume, unless it's proven or we could see that for some reason the Lakewood market is different because the shipping expenses are more or because the demand for it in Lakewood is less or something like that, but in absence of any change in the variables, we are allowed to look at the Deal price and say that is the price that is supposed to be in Lakewood. Or look at the New York price and say that's the price that's supposed to be in Lakewood. Sure, a bottle of Kol Yisrael milk in Lakewood will go for cheaper than a bottle of Kol Yisrael milk in Ontario, in Ottawa, because the demand there is very limited. So in order to make the seller worthwhile his effort to ship in Kol Yisrael, he has to charge much more per bottle. But in the difference between, let's say, Flatbush and Borough Park, there is no difference. And therefore, if I see a bottle of milk sold in Flatbush, I could assume that's going to be the same price in Borough Park. So it depends really on the item, how exclusive it is.
I want to attract customers. I'm selling something at less than a rate of a dollar, 50 cents less than my payment for the market price.
The lekeach will be over and not if they're being managed. If you know about it and you're being meichel, they're not over and over and not. But if you don't know about it, sorry? And just like the other way, if the lekeach knows beforehand and he's meichel and he buys it anyway, there won't be an nitzar no on the meichel's end either. That's true. That's true. But minastam, we can't assume that the person knows about it. We have no right to assume even a tiger knows about it. It's going to be halacha. You can't assume just because he's a mumch in the field, he knows how to market his every item or that item that he's selling you. Could be he made a mistake and he's off on this, and until you know that he knows it and he's being meichel, you will have an nitzar no. Love Africa because you don't know how expensive on the item. So if I know that he's expensive and I think he's being man on me, let's say pokus mishtas, and he's really being man on me a shtus or more, he will have a problem. He'll have a problem saimitzad the chazara, which we'll see later on, and saimitzad the itzer as well. We are mishubit to stick with the market value. Let's try to chaperine one more sif. This is a very sadistic sif. If let's say the anah was more than the shtus by a mashu, just like in similar to Sif Gimel, where it was less than the shtus by a mashu, so too, if it was more than the shtus by a mashu, the other end of the spectrum, then it's botol ha-mekach, and what's the halach, he's allowed to force the ma'ana to give him back the item, and he doesn't have to buy it. Aval ha-ma'ana, if I, in this case, if I undersold and I was cheated, I was the seller, I have a right to go back to you, but you, being man and me, have no right back to come to me. Or if I oversell, I charge you $8 for a $6 item, you have a right to come back to me and return the item, but I have no right to go back to you and ask for the item back. If the other side, if the mis'ana, is quiet. He's rotted at the kibble, he doesn't come to complain. As long as he doesn't come to complain, the mekach is going to be kayim. Once he does come to complain, however, I have a right to be mevat to the mekach. And that is, let's say, take a simple case. I sell something for $8 and it's only worth $6. I cheated the lekach by $2, yesim mishtos. If he doesn't come to complain, I can't be mevat to the mekach. If he comes back and he says he wants $2 back, at that point I can say, you know what, let's call the deal. Forget about it, I'll give you back your money, you give me back the item. He has no right, he has no kayak to force the meicha to return $2. He has a right by ishtus to adjust the price. But by yoysim ishtus, his only recourse is to be mevat la mekach. If he asks for a price adjustment, I have a right in turn to be mevat la mekach. I'm not mechuyev to give him this price adjustment. That is the shita tamachaba. The Yeshua and the Ramah holds, Peter Sheet Rabbeinu Yoino, the Afa Ma'ano Yokolak the boy, the Ma'ano too has a right to be Chayzo. Elim Kain, Nisratza Hamitzana Pamachas, Ishashosak Yosim in the Shir, she's Baba Samak Zayin. Unless the time frame passes, so it's automatic Machilo, or he was Nisratza Hamitzana Pamachas Lehedja, he said, I am Michael, I am not coming back to you. At that point, once he is Michael, so there's no more Onah here, it's history, and then the man has no right to come back. But before he was Michael, before the Nisana was Michael, even the man, even the guy who cheated the other party, has a right to be Mevata the Mekach, not like the Machaba. And the reason is because it's assumed that whoever is cheated will come back and be Mevatel the Mekach. And if it's assumed that there's something inherently wrong in this deal, he is going to come back and be Mevatel the Mekach, then I could preempt him and I could call the Mekach and be Mevatel the Mekach. Because there's something inherently wrong in this Mekach. I know it's doomed. This Mekach is going to go down the drain. However, once he's Michael and the Zana has not coming back to me, so then I know that the Mecca is going to be kind, then I can come and be Mevat to the Mecca, because I have no problems with it. I gain from it, I overcharge, so I have no right to be Mevat. The Mechaba holds that min hastam, the Ma'ana has no right to be Mevat to the Mecca, but if he asks for an adjustment of price, then you can be Mevat to the Mecca. The Ramah says even before he asks, even if he doesn't ask, as long as it's min hastam, the Ma'ana has a right to be Mevat to the Mecca. But if the Nis'ana, if the one who was cheated is Michael, once he's Michael, it's history. Let's finish up the Ramah. The Ramah is giving you an interesting case. You have something worth 60 and you sell for 51, or vice versa. There is no anashtus. It's off by 9. 9 over 51 is more than the shtus. 9 over 60 is less than the shtus. So no way, say legabi the mekak, say legabi the mois, it will never be a shtus. So now what do you do? If you're going to go bust the mekak, if you go bust, it was supposed to be 60 and I sold it for 51. If you go bust in a Mekach, the 69 is less than the shtus, so it should be a Mechila. If you go bust the 51, the actual mois that was paid, 9 is more, and it should be a Bito Mekach. What do you do? So that's what the Ramah says. L'gabi Echor Avi Bito Mekach, L'gabi Sheni Mechila. If you look towards one, it'll be a Bito Mekach. You look towards the other, it'll be a Mechila. As Linin Bosa Ha Mekach, you always go bust the Mekach price. Hein Linin Bito Mekach, Hein Linin Mechila, the Toh Inchi Be Mekach Velo Be Mois. Really, the toys is in the Mekach. People make the mistake. They try to value and assess the product is by the Mekach or by the real price of the item. If I'm off, I'm off from the item. So in my case, the Ramah's case of 60 and I sold it for 51, we look towards the Mekach of 60, and if I was off by 9, it will be a Mechila. It's less than the Shtos. And if it was 51 and I sold it for 60, it's off more than the Shtos, and it will be a Mekach toys, because 9 over 51 is more than the Shtos. The ik is gdobas and mekach. The chiddush of mois is only when it's exactly shtus, then we could, like the case before, I have something worth 5 and I sell it for 6, then we can go look towards mois, because then it was worth exactly shtus and mois, then we look towards mois. But otherwise, we always go bas the mekach. Right, we're saying that the tois and the mois, because of what he actually gave, in what he gave, there was a tois of a shtus. But in what he gave, sorry?
He knew what the Mekach
Queen
is worth.
I didn't know. There's obviously a mistake going on here. But that was the Chiddush of Shtos Mois. But Min Hastam, the mistake normally is in the Mekach, and that's why we look towards the Mekach. Not. Obviously, there's no Toys in the Mois. The Toys in the Mekach, that's what the Ramah is saying. But there's a Chiddush, and even then, if it's off exactly Shtos in the Mois, we have a right to look towards the Mois and to determine that this Mekach, something was wrong with this Mekach by a Shtos. But otherwise, we look towards the Mekach. It means if we can't have an exact shtus, we always go bust the Mekach. So just to recap, basically is that there might be an issur, like we discussed, but Lagabi, the remedy, Pachas Meshtus is a Mechila, Shtus is a Chazara, but it's command impossible to have, and Yais Meshtus, even by a Mashu, is going to be a Bito Mekach. Just to finish with one more halacha is that let's say it is Yais Meshtus, and it is grounds for a Bito Mekach, and then Nis'ana comes running back and says, he calls up the cell and says, you know, it's a Tois, I want a Mekach Tois on it. And then he has a change of heart. What's the halacha then? Does the ma'ana, does the seller have a right to say, well, once you call the bit of mekach, now the mekach is bottom, and I can ask for the item back? Or no, until everything is exchanged, the mekach is still kaim. And if the nisan, if the one who was cheated, decided to change his mind, he has a right to change his mind. And that is the machlokes rishonim. The others rishonim say, the second the nisan says, calls out the Mekach and says, I want a Mekach Tois, at that point, it's a point of no return. It is a Mekach Tois, and even the man has a right to back out. Good luck.
For other tapes by Rabbi Kahan, or for additional information, please contact Beis Din Meisharim at 732-905-3388. Thank you.